Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Trish!
Hi, I'm at a truck stop today, and it's really neat here. The first person I went up to, he was in a white truck right as we were pulling up, and as Emilio was driving, and this one trucker just was waving. So Emilio stopped in front of the truck, and I thought, this is great. Let's just get out right here. So I got out and said, hey, you know, we're looking for people with a white truck to do a radio program and maybe to give us a tour of the inside of your truck.
Boy, that's clever, Trish, really clever.
I know, Ray, I'm learning really well from you. and so he said, sure, I'll do it. And we told him what it was about, and I asked him what his thoughts were, you know, on God. And he said, well, I think that, you know, everybody believes in the one God. So whether you're Muslim and you pray like 7 times a day, it's still the same God. So if you're Mormon and you pray to the Mormon God, it was still the one God. And so I asked him, I said, so, you know, have you had anything scary go on with your truck? I mean, truck, you know, if brakes go out or anything like that, have you ever fallen asleep at the wheel? And he said, yes, one time his brakes did go out. And I asked him, what did you do? What were your thoughts when that happened? He said he just looked up. And so, yeah, and then I said, but, you know, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And he said, well, heaven, for sure. And I said, why? He said, well, because I pray just like a ton every day. So that's Jim. His name's Jim.
Yeah, and
he lives here in the Dallas area.
That's ultimately, that's work righteousness. As lovely as that sounds, that is earning salvation somehow through a religious practice, and that is not going to get the job done. By the way, Trish.
Yeah.
Ran into a lady who is a truck driver who visits your church once a month when she's on the road in Dallas-Fort Worth.
You know, her name is probably Peggy, and she came not this past Sunday, but the one before. And you know what she said? I've got to brag on my church real quick here. She told me, she's 52 years old, and she said, in all of my years of Christianity, this is the first time that I actually felt loved and very welcomed. And so that just really, that touched my heart.
All righty, here we go. Ray, are you ready to go into a truck?
We'll park the truck in Houston and walk there. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. And Jim's literally going to take the cell phone into the truck. Your line on the air.
All right.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing real good.
That's great. Hey, so your brakes have failed once?
Yes.
You know, when an 18-wheeler's brakes fail, I'm not worried about the trucker. I'm worried about all of us guys on the road that you're heading for.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, when I was going down a mountain, unfortunately, I didn't have nobody in front of me, and I had a lot of weight, and I wasn't in the proper gear that you needed to be into before you go down a hill, so I had to learn the hard way.
Wow. So, Jim, how can I get to heaven? If I'm a non-Christian, and I said, Jim, I got to get to heaven, what would you say to me?
I would say probably just believe in God and believe in the power and believe in the work that he does. And anybody that says that there's not a God, I always ask them, well, I mean, I give thanks every single morning when I wake up. That is my goal at night before I go to sleep, is to wake up every morning.
Jim, that's a good thing to hope you're going to wake up in the morning. Jim, are you born again?
Yes, I have been for probably about 15 years.
Tell me what happened and why you became born again.
I had a pretty rough childhood growing up. My mom and dad, they didn't have a lot. They always did what they could to provide for me. My mom, she passed away in 98 and had a lot of medical problems in my family. Fortunately, I don't have any medical problems, you know, so I started going to church and believing in the power that keeps me going every day. And I realized that it made me feel a lot different when I was when I was going to church every Sunday and believing more in God's power. What he does and what gets us by every day. The more I believed, and the better I felt. And And so I asked the preacher that I was going to church for to save me and to baptize me again, because I got away from it for a while. And a lot of it had to do with a lot of stuff that was going on TV.
Hey, Jim, when did you last read your Bible?
3 days ago.
What'd you read?
I read Psalms. That's always been kind of a passage where...
And how often do you read the Scriptures?
I'm sorry?
How often do you read the Scriptures?
Not as often as I should have. I don't do it that often. I think a lot of it has to do with the workload that I have and how much I'm driving and
Sounds like a workload. Where I have to be and
my time schedule. But I don't do it as often as I should.
Here's a question for you, Jim, and you think before you answer. Have you got a desperately wicked heart, or are you a good person?
Oh, I'm a terrific person. I think more of other people than I do myself.
So your heart's not deceitfully wicked?
I'm sorry?
Your heart is not deceitfully wicked? You wouldn't say that?
No, not at all. I do not have a deceiving bone in my body.
Okay. Jim, you sound like a really nice guy, and I'd love to be talking to you in your truck, but what I'm going to do is do you a favor if I can. And this is what helped me in my Christian life more than anything else. So I want you to be patient with me, okay, as we do this?
Okay.
I'm going to ask you 4 or 5 questions to see if you really are a morally good person, okay?
Okay.
Hang in there. How many lies have you told in your life?
How many lies?
Yeah.
Ooh, I can't count.
Okay, so you lost count.
I know we all tell little white lies at times. So
okay, what do you call somebody who tells lies?
I'm sorry?
What do you call somebody who tells lies? What are they called?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen anything in your life, even if it's small?
Yes.
Okay, what do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Now, that's very serious. God gave you life. He lavished his goodness upon you, gave the ability to see and hear and eat good food. And you have taken his holy name and used it as a cuss word to express disgust. One more to go, Jim.
Unfortunately.
What we're doing is diagnosing something. Jesus said whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman and lusted after her?
No, I have not.
Are you homosexual?
No, I'm not.
Well, let me ask again. Have you ever looked at a woman with sexual desire? Is there red blood in your veins?
Oh, yes. Okay, I know where you're... Okay, I understand what you're asking now. Yes, I have.
So when you do that, you commit adultery in God's eyes. Have you ever hated someone in your whole life?
No, I have not. I've never hated anybody in my life.
Well, that's great. So here's a summation of how God sees you. Now, by man's perspective, you're a good guy. You're normal. In God's perspective, and by your own admission, you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart.
Right.
Okay, can you see that?
Yes, I can.
And if you died and God gave you justice, you'd be guilty of violating his commandments, and you'd go to hell because God says the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. We're so deceitful, we say we're good when we're not. And that's called self-righteousness, and that's an abomination to the Lord.
Right.
So it's very important that you see that you're a deceitful, wicked sinner, and you desperately need God's forgiveness. Now tell me how I can get God's forgiveness. We've only got 3 minutes, so try and be quick.
Well, I can just, pray to him every day, every chance that I do something, that I do sin, and ask for his forgiveness.
How do I get God's forgiveness?
I guess continue to pray and believe in God and his work.
No.
And try not to make the same mistakes that you have made.
No, there's something real important that you've missed out on, and let me share it with you and get your thoughts on it. God became a person in Jesus of Nazareth, and Jesus gave his life on the cross, suffering for your sin and my sin. He took our punishment upon himself.
Right.
God's wrath came upon him, so it wouldn't have to come on us. What Jesus actually did was purchase eternal salvation for us. We broke God's law, and Jesus paid our fine. That means God can legally dismiss our case. We can walk right out of the courtroom. Justice can be satisfied, and mercy can be extended to us because of the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jim, what you must do to be saved is not pray, not live a good life, but you've got to repent. This is what the Bible says. Turn from your sins. Not only just acknowledge them, but turn from them. And the second thing you must do is trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, not in your own goodness, but in him. Remember how you said you're a good person? And that was going to get you to heaven? Well, transfer that trust that you had in yourself to the Savior. The moment you do that, God will forgive every sin you've ever committed, and he'll grant you the gift of everlasting life. It can't be earned. It can't be deserved. It's by his mercy, by his grace, by God's goodness that he saves us. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes, sir, that does.
Todd.
Hey, Jim, how do you do?
I'm doing great.
Good. You had mentioned that you were born again, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So to be born again, you have to die in order to be born again, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Because otherwise you don't get to go to heaven. So when Jesus said that, what he meant is we don't kill ourselves. We don't, you know, drive into a brick wall so that we die. We die to ourselves, if you will, spiritually. We come to the place where we go, I'm not good. I'm not a good guy. I have been lustful and lying and angry, and I have taken God's name in vain, and I wasn't good with my parents. I'm a wretched sinner. And when we come humbly, dead to self, repenting and putting our trust in Jesus, that's when God makes us born again. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, it does.
Okay. So, Jim, this is just so important. You said that you are a really good guy, and the Bible makes it clear we're really not. And until we get to the place where we recognize we're really bad, God won't make us born again. So, Jim, we're not your judge. You know, God knows. But if you have not died to self, would you please make sure you don't get back into that rig and drive any place until you get the issue resolved?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll be praying for you, all right?
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
You drive safely.
This is Wretched Radio. Do ultrasounds really save the lives of babies? Yeah.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind. But seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
One ultrasound, one saved baby. Would you please consider supporting the Ministry of Preborn? Just $28 will provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is considering abortion. They are saving lives. Lives every day. 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she decides to choose life. How many ultrasounds could you provide for just $28? Kindly visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Provide ultrasounds and save the lives of babies.
The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is Wretched's latest evangelistic resource, perfect for sharing with those who don't understand who Jesus is.
People love to question the divinity of Jesus Christ. Phil Johnson, what would be one proof that Jesus Christ is God?
The calendar is based on
it. That's a pretty big proof, but we have compiled 21 more proofs. Jesus is God in a booklet titled The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You know somebody who needs to know Jesus. Get your copies. Terrific evangelistic booklet. Wretched.org/22.
The Man Who Split Time is a must read for every skeptic. So we challenge you. Get it. Read it. Then give it away. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copy at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time.
First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is teaching, the spiritual ability to explain and apply God's word. A teacher studies to gain knowledge of the Bible, is equipped with wisdom to understand it, and is gifted with the ability to explain it to others so they can grow in God's truth and apply it to their daily life.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All righty, Trish is at a she's at a truck stop. Is that where you are, Trish?
I am, and I've got a couple of trucking tips or facts that right. Well, I haven't known. I'm at the busiest truck stop in 5 states. It's here in Texas. You know, everything's big in Texas. So, yeah, this is the busiest truck stop. And did you know that, I guess, truckers, if you've been in the trucking business for a long time, you can literally, like, look at a trucker and tell if they're a rookie just by the way they, like, all carry right. themselves,
yep.
I guess.
For instance?
That's what Jim told me. He's like, Trish, you can literally look at a trucker and tell if they're a rookie by the way they walk and talk.
Like, yeah, you can see, because, well, they walk, look as though they're sitting down while they're walking if they've been in a truck for their whole lives.
Well, that was like a teaser report.
Yeah.
What would be an example of this? So you can always tell when somebody's a guest at a church, too. When somebody's just visiting a church for the first time, you can just tell.
Tell us. Yeah.
Well, no, that's what somebody told me.
Oh, okay.
So this fellow's name is what?
This fellow's name is Al, and I asked him, I said, what's one of the number one things that, you know, truckers struggle with maybe while they're, you know, they're on the road or whatnot? And our last trucker, Jim, said loneliness, and this trucker, Al, said, well, not loneliness. He called himself a modern-day trucker. He says, I've got my computer up so I can be online and do all sorts of things.
Good.
And Al, I asked him, I said, are you any certain religion? He goes, well, I've been confirmed into 7 different religions. I said, what, Al? Which ones are that? He said, well, Episcopal, Catholic, Pentecostal, Baptist, Southern Baptist, Lutheran. And I said, what are you practicing today, any religion? He said, well, Episcopal. And he goes, I've done a lot of bad things in my life. And I said, how are you forgiven? What are you going to do? And he listed off all the bad things he's done. Wow.
If you're impressed, it must have been good.
I was like, wow. And he said, you know, Trish, what I'm going to do is I atone for myself every day by asking for forgiveness.
Wow.
You ready to go with Al?
All right, Al. You're live on the air.
All right, Ray.
Okay. Hello?
Hey, Al. All
right.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, Al. You don't mess with your laptop while you're driving your truck, do you?
What do you mean, do I mess with it?
Well, you said you had no problem with loneliness because you've got your laptop, and I had this vision of you sitting with your laptop on your lap while you're driving your truck, sort of messing with it.
No, my laptop sits on the side of me, and I have a camera hooked up to it, and my wife and my son can see me while I'm driving down the road. And I also have a GPS system hooked up to it. And if I glance over, I can see a picture of them, their smiling faces on it, because they have a camera on their computer at home.
Well, that's really sweet. How many kids have you got?
I have 2 children.
How old are they?
I have a 19-year-old who's serving his country in the Navy as a Navy corpsman, and I have a 7-year-old who's home with his mother.
Okay. Al, you mentioned to Trish that you have to atone for yourself. What do you mean by that?
Well, I wasn't a very good child. I lost my father when I was 5 years old, and I just kind of rebelled, and I did a lot of bad things. I cheated on my wife. I did drugs. I drank. I was just a mean person. And because of that, I've kind of been atoning for myself, trying to do the best I can with helping other people, volunteering my services, and atoning for what I've done.
What sort of good works do you have to do to atone for your sins? I mean,
you don't have to, but I mean, I've been trying to live my life a lot cleaner. I don't drink anymore. I don't smoke. I don't condone drinking or smoking. I'm devoted my life right now is to teaching guys to be safe drivers on the road. I'm also a paramedic, firefighter, nurse, and I've saved lives. And,
okay, Al, are you there yet? Have you atoned for your sins?
Well, I feel I have.
Well,
I
so
mean,
you can stop
only
now.
One person that's gonna.
So you could stop atoning, could you?
No, I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to keep
You want
going
to make sure,
and,
huh?
Yeah, it feels good to help people.
Okay, I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. So if you look at a woman and desire her sexually, you commit adultery with her physically in God's eyes. That's what the Bible says. It's that serious. Have you ever done that?
I have. I don't anymore. I love my wife with all my heart, and I wouldn't do anything to jeopardize our relationship.
So how many times do you think you've looked at women and lusted for them?
In my life?
Yeah, in your life.
Oh, millions.
Okay, now how are you going to atone for that? In God's eyes, you committed adultery every time you did that. So how are you going to atone for that?
By stopping.
Yeah, but that won't atone.
God, I pray to God every day to forgive me.
So how many times do you have to pray to make sure you're forgiven those million times you lusted and committed adultery in your heart?
Well, I don't know how many times I would have to, but I'm hoping I pray enough.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Lots of times.
Okay. How many do you think?
Oh, I don't know. Millions.
Okay. What do you have to do to atone for blasphemy? How do you make that right?
Like I said, I pray every day for God to forgive me.
Okay. Have you lied in your life? How many lies do you think you've told?
Yes.
Okay, what about stealing? Have you ever stolen anything?
No, I never stole anything.
In your whole life? Never took something that belonged to someone else?
I never took nothing that I didn't pay for. Actually, my ex-wife used to eat grapes out of a grocery store, and it used to drive me up a wall because I believed it was stealing.
Okay. Al, what I'm trying to show you is that there's no way you can atone for your sins because they're so serious in God's sight. There's only one thing that can save you from hell. Do you know what that is?
I don't know. What?
Okay, this is very important.
Believe in God, the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost.
Nope. That's a good try. Al, listen to this. The Bible actually says God's wrath abides on you because you have a multitude of sins. You're like a very devious criminal that's raped and murdered a number of women. That's how serious sin is in God's sight. Okay?
Yeah.
And every time you try and atone for your sins, anytime you try and offer God something, you're like a criminal who's committed serious crimes trying to bribe the judge and say, Judge, here's $5, here's $10. And the Bible says God is angered by anything you offer him. It says this, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. There's only one thing that can atone for you, and it's not done by yourself. This is how you can be the atonement can be made. God became a human being, Jesus of Nazareth. When John the Baptist saw him for the first time, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus went to the cross to make atonement for your sins. And when he was on the cross, God's wrath came upon him. The fist of God's justice came upon the innocent lamb so that you could be forgiven, so that you could leave the courtroom, so that your sins could be atoned for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay?
Yeah.
Then he rose from the dead, defeated death. And now when you repent and trust in him, God freely gives you his mercy. He freely gives you his grace. He can wash away every sin you've ever committed so your conscience will never bother you again. That's the miracle of conversion. The book of Hebrews, I think it is, says the blood of bulls and goats couldn't wash away sins. It said, and it only did it temporarily, but the blood of Jesus Christ will wash your conscience, cleanse your conscience from dead works. Because all those works you're offering God, all the prayers and all the atonement, are actually called dead works. They're not impressing God at all. But the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, your sins are washed away completely by the blood of Christ. You're made righteous, you're justified, you're clean. God will allow you to live, and your conscience will never bother you again for your past sins. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So if you were to die today, Jim, you've got, even despite the fact that you're conscious of your sins and you're trying to make atonement, if you died today and God gave you justice and you were judged by the Ten Commandments, God would see you as a liar, a blasphemer, and an adulterer, and you'd end up in hell. But you've got to do two things to be saved. Repent.
Well, I believe in Jesus Christ.
Okay, you've got to
repent.
Yeah, you've got to repent, though. That's very important. That's total turning from all sin and trusting alone in Jesus Christ, not in your good works. As long as you hold on to your good works, you'll not hold on to Jesus Christ. It's got to be entirely in him or nothing. If you're trying to be good and trying to please God by praying and making atonement, you're not trusting in Jesus. You've got to let go of your self-righteousness and trust in the righteousness of Christ alone. It's like if you're in a boat and rowing and you're heading for the Niagara Falls, and I throw you a rope and you say, I don't want to grab the rope because I want to save myself. And you're rowing, but you're getting closer and closer to the falls. You've got to let go of the oars, take hold of the rope, and I'll pull you to the shore. And you've got to let go of all those things you're doing to save yourself. Let go of the oars and grab that rope of the Savior and let God pull you to the safety of the shore. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So the two things you have to do to be saved, repent and trust in Jesus Christ, okay?
Okay.
When are you going to do that?
It's starting already.
Starting already. Oh, that's great. Just totally trust him. Hey, thanks for talking to me.
Okay.
Todd, would you like to talk?
Hey,
have
Al.
Have a good day.
Thank you. We'll be praying for you.
Okay. God bless you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Ray.
Yes.
There's no way to judge what's going on there.
Yeah.
Bro, your take real quick?
Oh, just...
You know what? Scratch that question. Even if you had to like, oh, yes, Ray, I think that's right. We none of us know what's going on.
Yeah.
In there. Our job, again, and this is of great comfort. Sorry, Ray. This is of great comfort.
Stop it, Friel.
This is of great comfort. If you are frustrated with witnessing to somebody, how are they responding? Should they this, that? I don't know. Nobody knows. But God knows. You are assigned to do the witnessing. God does the converting. And just rest in that. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. In this time of pandemic, some pastors are learning to speak and preach normally, well, as normal as possible, into a camera with very few people around them. Others are challenging the pandemic restrictions. In Brooklyn, a New York lawyer, Lee Nigan, a devout Jew, said New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's ban on mass gatherings blocks Jews from group readings of the Torah. His lawsuit was filed in U.S. District Court towards the end of March. Claims governmental officials overstepped their bounds in their efforts to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Plaintiffs have filed similar lawsuits in Texas, Colorado, and New Hampshire. These early challenges expose underlying questions about how long the government can circumscribe First Amendment rights, as well as how restrictions may affect ministry in the long term. Norm Pattis, Nigan's attorney, told the New York Post, lawful process matters, and emergency orders of this sort, if left unchallenged, will evolve into precedents with horrifying consequences. A patchwork of federal, state, and local recommendations and directives has arisen in the pandemic, officials drafting many of the restrictions in haste, sometimes resulting in overbroad or conflicting guidance that left religious communities and individuals unsure about what has followed. Adding to the confusion, some state government directives overrule local restrictions, while other states allow tighter controls at the local level. Texas Governor Greg Abbott issued a statewide order last Tuesday superseding more restrictive orders in place, like Fort Worth and Arlington that shuttered houses of worship. Most churches are adapting, finding what works for them in these unusual circumstances. Hey, this isn't unusual at all. The Students for Life Club at Georgia Tech has filed a lawsuit arguing the university's student government engaged in unconstitutional viewpoint discrimination when it rejected the group's application at the beginning of the school year for funds to host pro-life speaker Alveda King, niece of Martin Luther King Jr. Student overseers grilled applicant Brian Cochran, then the president of Students for Life at the school, about King's appearance, mostly her position on abortion and same-sex marriage. Leaders ultimately concluding that the group could not use student fees to fund King's speech because she was inherently religious, like her uncle. King became a Christian after having two abortions, has since become a vocal pro-life advocate. She has described abortion as womb lynching, and also has accused Planned Parenthood of targeting minority communities. Cochran, who has since graduated, ended up paying more than $3,000 out of his own pocket for King's appearance fee, and the university rebuffed his request for reimbursement. The Supreme Court said ADF attorney Caleb Dalton made it clear 20 years ago, if public universities wish to force students to pay student activity fees, then those universities have a duty to ensure the funds are distributed in a viewpoint-neutral manner. There have been more than a few universities that have had to tangle with student groups over the distribution of student activity fees. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. A good shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd,
who lays his life down for his sheep. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Alrighty, as we do every Wednesday, I like to hit the streets. Why? So that maybe somebody could get saved, and so that you can learn from the good, the bad, and the ugly, so that you can be better equipped to witness. Hey, Trish, where are you?
Hey, I'm at a college campus today. In fact, the same campus that I found Catherine at last week, and we've been looking for her. If you remember Catherine from last week, and we can't find her anywhere, but we think we found her car, so that's a good sign. But I found another gentleman. His name's Charlie. He's a student here on campus and wants to be an engineer once he's done with all of his general education. And he says that his parents are Buddhist. He was somewhat raised Buddhist, sort of. And they came over from Laos, and they got sponsored by a Christian family, and they ended up becoming Christians. So he said they're newfound Christians. However, Charlie isn't, and he's not really sure what there is after death. He says, you know, he wants to believe that there is, you know, something that happens to him after he dies, but he doesn't know what, and he doesn't really know who God is. I said, could we call you just an agnostic? Because, you know, you're not an atheist. You believe that maybe there is a God. You're just not sure which one. And he said, sure, that's fine, even though I don't know what that is. but his name's Charlie, and he said he must have done something really bad in his past life what was it, Charlie? You said that you must have had a real bad karma in your past life to come back as what you are today. Yeah, so he said that's kind of personal, but I don't know. You could probably talk to him. That's Charlie for you.
All righty. Alrighty. Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. Make sure even if you can't, visit Trish's website. It's fishwithtrish.com. All right, let's give it a go, Trish, with Charlie, shall we?
All right, Charlie.
All righty, Ray. Take it over, sir.
Thanks, Todd.
Hello?
Charlie, appreciate you coming on the program. Yeah. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm pretty and good. Have you had a Buddhist background?
Yeah.
Huh? Tell me, what do Buddhists believe? Do they believe in God's existence, or are they basically atheistic?
I guess they're basically atheistic, but it has a lot to do with reincarnation.
So what do you think? Do you think God exists?
I want to say he does, but like the way like my parent like things are right now, like I'm just kind of mixed up. I don't really know what to believe. So
you're studying to be an engineer?
Yes, sir.
Tell me something that's engineered.
Excuse me?
Tell me something that's been engineered. What gets engineered? Bridges? Bridges?
Like bridges, airplanes. Like right now I'm an aerospace engineer, or I want to be an aerospace engineer, so it's like airplanes and...
Okay. Can you think of any bridge that didn't have an engineer or a builder? I mean, the bridges happen by themselves.
Like natural bridges?
Yeah, like is there nothing and then there's a bridge?
Yeah, I would say sometimes.
No. You've got to have an engineer. You've got to have someone build it. That's where I'm heading. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Bridges don't happen from nothing. There's just not nothing and then there's a bridge. Obviously, an engineer designed it and then builders built the bridge. You know that because the bridge has got designed to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No one had ever believed that a plane happened by itself or a building happened by itself or a bridge happened by itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's how you can know there's a God, because we're surrounded by an incredible creation that's obviously been engineered, it's been created. So creation tells you that there's a creator. Make sense?
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm really pleased about that. So, you believe you had a past life?
Yeah, I say that a lot. It's just like in dreams and sometimes...
What were you?
I couldn't say. Probably, I don't know, maybe like a builder, like a craftsman or something.
And you did something bad in your past life?
I don't know. I just say that just because I feel like... Sometimes I feel bad, like I'm doing bad things.
Well, you probably are. You're probably like the rest of us, and you've got a sense of guilt. You've got a conscience. You're a moral creation. Do you think you're basically a good person?
I want to say yeah, but sometimes I do bad things, so everyone does bad things.
That's just like the Bible actually says. Romans 7, the Apostle Paul says the same thing. He says there's something in that wants to do good, but there's something in that wants to do bad at the same time. This is how to tell if you're a good person. How many lies have you told, do you think, in your life, Charlie?
Lies?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Probably so so many. Just little white lies or just stuff.
Hey, what do you call someone who tells lies? Whoops.
A liar.
Lost contact.
Hello?
Huh. Hey, I'm sorry. Ray, where did you go?
Oh, the phone just cutting out or something.
Okay. So, you know, I'll just pick it up until he comes back. I think he fell out of his chair or something. Okay, what he was doing, Charlie, was just kind of walking you through the Ten Commandments.
Oh.
Is what he was doing. Did he kind of pick up on that?
You got me on that one.
All right, let's try this one. This one's a little tougher. Have you ever committed adultery?
Absolutely. No, but I have thought about it many times.
Okay. Because this is what Jesus said, Charlie. Jesus said, you don't have to go out and actually have sex with somebody who's married or sex when you're married. All you need to do is look with lust, and you've committed adultery in your heart. In other words, your thought life, your imaginations, the fantasies. So, Charlie,
Jesus
would you be innocent?
That.
Yeah, Jesus said that, yeah. And what he was getting at is that God goes deeper than we human beings do. He doesn't just look at the surface things. He looks at what's going on in our heart. And so, for instance, here's another one. You think, well, I haven't committed murder, but the Bible says that if you've ever been really angry with somebody unjustly, you're a murderer at heart. It's our thought life. It's our intentions. It's our attitude. God goes deeper than just the actions. He goes to what's behind it also.
You're correct, sir.
Okay, so, Charlie, would you still consider yourself to be a good person?
By the Bible standards or today's standards?
You know, by the Bible standards, which is if it's true, that's the one that counts.
Like if I said, honestly, I don't study the Bible, but
I understand.
I'm gonna say, yeah, decent person.
Well, here's the question, though. The question is, what does the judge think? It doesn't matter what the criminal thinks about himself. If we've broken the laws, it means we're lawbreakers, we're criminals. And you've broken the laws, so you would be a lawbreaker and a criminal too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So if God judged you, found you guilty for breaking his laws, what do you think?
I'm
God...
a sinner.
Yeah, you're a sinner. That's see, there you do agree with the Bible. That's what the Bible says.
Oh, yeah.
You're a sinner.
Are you? No doubt where I'm going. That happens.
Where do you think you're going?
Well, if the Bible is correct,
yeah.
Which I don't know if it is correct,
right.
I'll probably be burning in hell.
Okay. Here's something that I think is really important, Charlie, is to start by seeing if you agree with some of the basic principles of the Bible. For instance, the Bible says nobody does good, no, not one. And that's probably the best place to start. And it's agreeing with the Bible statement that we don't do good things, we do bad things because we're bad people. And somebody who lusts a lot or lies a lot or has stolen things, maybe dishonored your mom and dad when you were a child? Is that a possibility?
Yeah.
Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
So many times.
Okay, that's called blasphemy.
Blasphemy.
He says, I will not hold him blameless who takes my name in vain because God created you. He made you, and you've used his name in a filthy way. Instead of thanking him for everything, you've used it in a bad way.
Oh, God.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Charlie, you don't think you're such a bad guy, huh?
Well, according to, I guess towards the Bible standards, not really, or I guess, but...
Yeah, that's right. And the
according
question...
According to my own standards.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, Charlie, if God exists and his standards are the ones that are in play because he's the judge, he's the creator, it doesn't matter what we think. If he thinks that we're guilty, dude... You'd be going to hell. What do you know about hell?
Not a paradise.
No, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
What do you know about it?
I know there's damnation down there.
Okay. Lake of fire? Ever heard that term?
Yeah.
Weeping, gnashing of teeth?
Basically, when someone says hell, you have a picture in your mind, and that's what you picture.
Yeah, it's a bad place. It's a terrible place. And Charlie, it's a right place. Imagine a judge who never punished criminals. We'd hate that.
Yeah.
And imagine a God who didn't punish lawbreakers. That would not be a just God. That would not be a good God. That wouldn't be a loving God. A God who is good and righteous and holy and loving punishes lawbreakers. So, Charlie, here's what we've learned today, dude. If the Bible is true, you're not a good person. You'll stand before God, and if he judges you, you're going to hell. This is my last question for you, and we're going to let you scoot, okay? Charlie, does this thought of going to hell concern you at all?
Not right now.
How come?
I don't know why.
Because you don't think you're a bad person.
Not that. I'm like, to my standards, isn't society's standards. I don't feel like I'm a bad person, but like...
All right. That's probably the core of the issue. Hey, Charlie?
Yeah.
We thank you for your time today.
All righty.
All right, you take care. Remember, if the Bible is true, where are you going?
Oh, I'm going with a bunch of bad, bad people. That's probably it.
That would not be a wise. We will leave him in Trish's hands and God's. This is Wretched Radio.
Imagine it's Sunday morning. The alarm clock rings. Bring. Sorry, we got a budget. We don't have much for sound effects here. Bring. The alarm bell goes off. You jump out of bed, excited to get ready for a day at church. You put your little gaggle into the minivan. You arrive at church. You greet everybody happily. You sit down, but wait. There's no pastor. That is what it is like for thousands and thousands of Christians in thousands of churches. They have buildings, they have pulpits, and no shepherds to fill them. We can change that by supporting the Master's Academy International mini seminaries around the globe. Visit wretched.org/pastor. Pick your favorite country and adopt a seminary, and let's fill pulpits together. wretched.org/pastor.
Thanks for being here today. Appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. Mark it down on your watch list, would you? Road Trip to Truth, coming soon to a Wretched store near you. You know the one conveniently located at wretched.org? Road Trip to Truth, hosted by John Fabares, went on the road to college campuses tackling the tough issues that millennials struggle with. The real issues like, why is there evil in this world? Is Jesus really God? Is there only one way to heaven? Issues like that. And of course, share the gospel with them. It's all on Road Trip to Truth. When you watch it, you'll get an idea of what this younger generation is up against and how you can share your faith with them. So coming soon to that wretched store near you, Road Trip to Truth. And it's all made possible by the generosity of our gospel partners. If you are able and would like to join us as a gospel partner, visit wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Not to say I told you so, but I've been sharing with you how Tomorrow Clubs think kids camps in Eastern Europe meeting weekly to hear the gospel. Kids get saved, parents get saved, and churches get revitalized. Here is just one example so I can say, I told you so.
There is actually was a dying church, only two families. So this lady, she's a school teacher. Someone told her about this village, so she came, and believe it or not, she has about 40 kids coming to the Tomorrow Club from the villages around. So the whole church is filled with kids.
Love hearing that. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe? Kids are getting saved, families getting saved, and churches revitalized. $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote to the elect exiles who were facing persecution for the sake of Christ. Peter exhorted them to trust God and to continue living godly lives. He reminds them of their hope in Christ and their high calling. When you want to learn joyful obedience, no matter what your circumstances, look to 1 Peter. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Trish, where are you?
Hi, I'm at a college campus in Texas, and Fort Worth, to be specific. And I found a young man named Isaac. And it's interesting because we had a young guy named Charlie on who was going and wanted to be an engineer. And Isaac, who you're going to talk to right now, is going to school here to end up being an engineer, and he says he's you know, he's quite a thinker, and he has some interesting thoughts about you know, God. He believes that God is an idea that's been made up by man. Even though people believe in God, they do accomplish big things, but it's an idea that's been made up by man. And when I asked him about the Bible and, like, its reliability, or if he believes it's the Word of God, he says, you know, that's made by man as well, because it's been passed down for so many years, it's
like
not very reliable.
Yeah, sure. Just like engineering. It's been passed down, and it's been written by man. I can't trust a word they say. Hey,
and that's why he said he wants to be an engineer, is because, you know, he's a thinker. So he said it fits his personality best because he doesn't have to deal with people.
Thinker. Hey, by the way, Charlie, was he friendly or crabby?
After he got off the air,
yeah.
Neither, just somewhere in between. But Emilio actually is talking to him right now up on a hill, and they're overlooking a lake, which is just beautiful. Isn't that neat? College campus on the lake. And they're talking about all kinds of things. And Charlie has some questions, so Emilio is answering them.
Because I left him sitting in hell. I didn't give him the gospel. So I'm glad that you guys are there to keep going with him, because he just seemed kind of like rather blasé. And proud of his own opinion of himself.
Well, you know, Todd, I did give him the gospel after I got off the air. I talked with him, and I said, just think about this. And I went through the commandments again with him, because I recognized that you guys didn't give him the gospel because of the way it ended. I was sitting next to him, and I could hear that he goes, well, I guess I'm going to go to hell with the rest of them, or whatnot.
That was
something
it.
To that effect.
Yeah.
And so I asked him, I said, if what we're telling you is true, and I said, well, let me rephrase that. I go, since what we're telling you is true, because it is true. He goes, since it's true? I go, yes, because it is true. I said, what's going to happen to you? He goes, well, since it's true, then I go to hell. And I go, well, listen to this. I want to give you good news. And he goes, good news? I go, yes, there is good news. And so that's when I gave it to him.
Softy. All righty. I'm glad to hear it. Then hopefully he gets saved. Because, Ray, it just I knew that they were there. So if you were listening and you thought, what a cruel man to not give the gospel. It's our highest desire to give the gospel, but sometimes it's good to allow the Holy Spirit to convince somebody of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And if somebody says, I don't care about going to hell, they're not going to be very interested in heaven.
That's right.
So I didn't. All righty, let's give it a go, shall we?
Okay, Isaac's going to be on the air.
Hello?
Isaac, how you doing?
I'm great.
Isaac, what does your name mean?
Well, I know that there is a name like mine in the Bible.
Yeah, yes, I-S-A-A-C, Isaac?
I-S-A-A-C, yes.
Yeah, it means laughter, I think.
Yes, there was a story about that I heard once. A woman named her child Laughter because she didn't expect to have a child.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yes.
So, Isaac, you think God is a made-up idea?
I believe that I have an idea. I'm not 100% sure that God exists. But
are you 100% sure he doesn't exist?
I'm not 100% sure he doesn't exist either.
Oh, that's good. So, you know, there's a quick way, if you're a thinker, to find out if there's a creator. Just look at creation and say, did this happen by accident? We've got flowers, birds, the trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, the seasons. We've got order from the atoms through the universe. So it's not thinking very deeply to say, oh, look at this creation, there's no creator. Creation proves there's a creator. Would you agree with that?
It is kind of a selfish idea to believe that creation needs a creator. Why can
selfish?
Creation not simply be creation?
Why would it be selfish, Isaac?
Okay. Proving that we need a creator, that's right.
Yeah, it's common sense. I don't know if it's selfish, it's just common sense. A child can say, that building had a builder because the building exists. Buildings don't happen by themselves. A child can see a painting and know there was a painter because paintings don't happen by themselves. The painting is proof there was a painter. And so anyone who's a thinker can look at creation and say, duh, there's a creator, because creation couldn't happen by itself. So I don't think selfishness comes into it. I think the word's just common sense. Isaac, if there's
creator
a...
Creator refers to a single being, where a creation force, a force that creates, isn't necessarily a creator. It is a creation force.
Yeah. So if there is a heaven, do you think you'll go there, Isaac? Are you a good person?
I would say I'm a good person, but I wouldn't necessarily feel bad if I didn't go to heaven, because I know there are things that I have done that I'm not 100% proud of, and those are things I'd like to fix about myself.
Such as?
A few things I'd rather not go into right now.
Okay, well, let's just not go into deep things. Let's just go into generalizations. How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
Quite a few.
Okay. What do you call someone who tells lies? What's the correct term?
Technically, a person who lies is a liar.
Have you ever stolen anything in your life, even if it's small, in your whole life?
I have stolen food off of my brother's plate before, like a pickle. I like pickles, actually.
Do you know, that's got to take the cake, Isaac. We tend to demean and trivialize our sins, and that's funny. You stole a pickle from your brother's plate. I wouldn't call that theft. I'd call it a typical little kid who likes pickles, and his brother probably didn't. But have you ever stolen something that belongs to another people in your whole life, irrespective of its value?
I've never had a reason to steal, so I would
never
imagine.
Downloaded internet music without permission? Paying for it?
I don't really listen to music. The music I do listen to, I don't download.
Okay.
Play.
That's interesting. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Generally, I don't tend to use the word God a lot, so I wouldn't imagine.
No, but have you ever used his name in vain even once?
I don't think so. Whenever I'm upset, I usually say words like nugget.
Oh, that's great.
Like,
okay. Now, Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust after her, that is, you look at her with sexual desire, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever done that, Isaac?
No, I pretty much don't have a sex drive. Honestly, I don't think I ever have. I look at people, I look at them to find a friend. I've never really looked for anything more than that.
Okay, well, I tend to believe you. Isaac, there's very bad news. The Bible says lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. God considers lying to be so bad that the scriptures say all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So you're in big trouble on the day of judgment, because whether you believe in God or you don't, you have to face him. And he's a God of justice and righteousness, and he's seen your self-righteousness. That is where you say you're a good person and you're not. He's seen the lies and deceitfulness that's entered your heart, where you've deceived other people with your lies, and you're in big trouble with God according to the scriptures. So here's a big if for you. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Most definitely guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
Definitely hell.
Now, does that concern you, Isaac?
I never really gave it any thought.
Yeah, but you're a thinker, so you could think about it today. Right now, does it concern you that if God judged you by the Ten Commandments and you're found guilty, you'd end up in hell? It doesn't take too much thought to say, whoa, that's not a good thought. Got to concern
you. In all honesty, it doesn't concern me too much.
Isaac, do you ever laugh?
I have laughed today, actually.
You did?
I enjoy laughing.
You enjoy laughing? So you love life?
I do enjoy life, but I wouldn't be devastated if it disappeared.
Well, I gotta disagree with you there. If someone came up behind you and said, Isaac, give me your wallet, I'm going to kill you anyway, you would look at them and plead with them, please don't shoot, because you've got an instinct, a love for life that's God-given. I had a friend, he was 18 years old, he got cancer, and suddenly he cried, I don't want to die. Because we have an instinct to live, a will to live, and it's God-given. And Isaac, please listen to your will to live. God...
And one sec. Truth is, I have been shot before, and I have been stabbed in the neck before.
Well, you better change your friends.
They weren't my friends.
Well, where are you hanging? Where you going to get shot and stabbed? Stay away from that place. Isaac, see how close you've got to death? God doesn't want death to take you. He sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. 2,000 years ago, God loved you so much that he provided a way for your sins to be forgiven. The suffering death of Jesus Christ on that cross was God paying your fine so that you wouldn't have to face that law. God can dismiss your case and forgive your sins, Isaac, and allow you to live because of the suffering death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So don't wait for another bullet. Don't wait for another life. Sorry, don't wait for another knife. Get right with God today. Repent and trust the Savior. Todd, do you want to talk to Isaac?
Hey, Isaac, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Well, what did you think about what that fellow just said?
I can't think too much on it.
But you're a thinker.
Yeah.
But you're not going to think about that?
I don't know. In all honesty, right now, I'm thinking more about how hungry I am.
All righty. All right, Isaac. I hope you get your stomach filled, and I hope you don't get shot and die and go to hell anytime soon.
I hope not either.
Okay.
But it wouldn't hurt me.
It concerns me a great deal, dude. So a bunch of people will be praying for you, whether you like it or not. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, a full belly, and loses his soul?
Until next time, go serve your king.